to 1102 on Phoenix and 98 FM. Now we've got live music coming up in the studio. I'm joined in the studio by Cheryl C. Hemmings, who is the founder of Hemmingway, that are here today. So good morning to Cheryl.
Good morning.
How are you? Looking lovely today.
Thank you very much. Likewise.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you. We are being filmed. Well, I'm not being filmed. You're being filmed today. That is a rather impressive camera, I must say. Rather impressive. There we go. And we've also got in the studio along with you, David. Now, you come in, it's a trio, isn't it? There's three of you.
There are three of us, yeah. Ryan, our bass player, unfortunately, is on holiday. Lucky so-and-so.
We have met before because we've met at the Basement. We've got a mutual friend of Paolo Moreno who's been in the studio loads with us. He's a really great guy.
Yes.
The Basement, if you've not been, is in Chelmsford. It's a fantastic music venue. The sound is great. Mm-hmm. The sound team are lovely as well.
Yeah, they are, yeah.
And if you want to if you want to do your own material, whether you're doing a cover band actually, but own material, it's just such a lovely venue, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great. I love playing down there.
So we're talking about Hemmingway. How long have you been together in this format, the three of you?
Probably for just coming up for about a year. Myself and Ryan, I think we've been playing together for about a year, and then Dave joined us about how long ago?
About September time.
So not long.
Because you have already been through the music industry explosion. When did you actually start writing? How old were you when you started doing music?
I think I've always written. I like writing stories and fiction as well as music, so it's always gone in sort of hand in hand for me. So probably I think I wrote a really rubbish song when I was about 12. I think that was probably my first song.
And do you remember any of the lyrics for that one?
Something about, God, I think something about a cold woman or something really... You know, something I'd know nothing about as a 12-year-old girl. But hey, who knows? I don't know what went through my head at the time. I don't know.
Now, moving on from sort of starting, was there anybody in the family that was musical, or was it just purely you?
My mum sings.
Yeah.
She never sang professionally, which I think always thought was a great shame because she's got a fantastic voice. And my dad used to play drums in local bands and stuff. So yeah, so I grew up around music.
You were in the Shaman.
I was.
So how did that come up?
I was 19 and I just decided to look around to see what bands were available and just went to the trade papers, found an advert for something that looked interesting, answered the ad, interviewed with or auditioned with 50 other singers, shortlisted to five, got the job.
And what was that time like?
I think it was quite overwhelming at the time and you kind of felt like it was happening to somebody else. But when I look back on it now, you know, retrospectively, it was an amazing time. And, you know, I've got memories with them that I'll treasure. I think within a week of getting the job, I had to do Top of the Pops appearance.
See, they don't do... That's the point. There's people out there, generation, that will never know the joys of Top of the Pops. Because that is when you knew. Because it's so watered down now with so many different... You know, you've got YouTube, you've got everything, haven't you? So, but back in the day, you were nobody unless you went on that show.
Yes.
And that was the pinnacle of people saying I've done it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that was a real high point for me, just knowing that I'd actually been on there.
Yeah,
we did a UK tour, so we got to play Brixton Academy.
Yep.
Which was an amazing venue. And then we did a world tour, so we played in Tokyo, Osaka, and then we did most of the states during that world tour. So we got to play the Limelight Club in New York.
Yeah.
Great places in LA, and then you know the late great Prince. We played his club in Minneapolis as well.
Was he there?
He wasn't, unfortunately.
He might have been. You don't know with people
possibly,
like that. He might have been hiding out the back somewhere.
You never know.
With the Shaman, did you actually write with them?
I think it was more they needed somebody to do the live stuff with them, so I accompanied them on all their live tours.
Yeah.
And then when they were kind of ready to record, they needed a different kind of voice for the recordings to what they wanted for the live stuff, so they kind of switched between us.
Yeah.
And by which time, I mean, by the time they were ready to record, I'd kind of already been sort of snapped up by Dee Reams' label,
yeah.
So which is where I went next. Then I started to write for myself, and I started to work with a lot of underground trance producers, people from Platypus Records, Seismic Records, and yeah, again, I kind of just got to know people through that whole scene, and then I got put in touch with Dee Reams' management, FXU Records, and they offered me a solo deal. So I stayed with them for about 4 years.
Mm.
And got to write all my own stuff. We had quite a few successes on the sort of underground label side of things.
Yeah.
And yeah, again, you know, great time.
And then you took a break.
Yep.
To have babies.
Yes.
And how many have you got?
I've got three. Three lovely babies. Yeah. Well, they're not babies anymore, but
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and they're all very much into music and performing and stuff like that. So
have you got any singers, or are they drummers, or where are they going?
My eldest daughter is dancer, singer, generally all round musical performer. I think she'd like to go into musical theatre. My younger daughter is fantastic little actress and writer, and my son is a great little beatboxer.
Mm. You have to get him down the basement.
I will. I said to him, as soon as you're old enough, you're joining me, pal.
Like 3 years old, you get on that stage and start doing some money. Yeah. I've got an EP that's going to be coming out. You're working on the EP at the moment.
Yes, we are, yeah.
First of all, we're going to have it here, a live track from you.
Okay.
So tell us about the track and how it came about.
Okay, this track is called Rise Again. I've kind of been involved in helping out with charities such as Women's Aid and Domestic Violence and that kind of thing. And it's a matter that's quite close to my heart. So it kind of inspired the lyrics for this particular song.
Excellent. Okay, here we go. Here's Hemingway with Rise Again. Beautiful. I love the high floaty notes.
Oh.
I love that. Was that something that came instinctively? Because it is quite unusual. I love it. It really is. I love that at the song.
Oh, Oh, thank you. No, I don't know where that came from, to be honest.
I thought you'd say, I sat there and I notated that for about four or five hours. It's really lovely. You've got such an amazing voice as well.
Oh,
really
thank
lovely
you.
Voice. Thank you. It's like, I love having live music in the studio. Now, you're writing your EP. When you sit down and write, do you sort of go with the guitar, or how do you sit and do keyboards? How do you put stuff together?
Excuse me, sorry. I usually sit at the piano and write.
Yeah.
So I'll come up with some sort of chord structure to begin with, and then put that into my programmer. You were saying about using Ableton, use Reason.
Yeah.
Similar sort of beast, really. So I just put my chords into Reason, and then I mess around with beats and loops. That's my favourite part of the job.
Yeah.
Messing around with beats, I love it. And then usually from that, I'll kind of generate some sort of vocal melody and usually get some sort of lyrical idea at the same time.
For the EP, you've got how many tracks is going to be on it? Is it like five or six?
We're sort of looking at four tracks.
Yep.
So they've all been written and programmed. Mm. We've just started recording guitar parts. Yeah. So... hopefully they should sort of be ready to go into proper production sort of by the end of the year.
And it's obviously since the first time round, everything's changed because you've got Twitter, you've got there's just social media, Facebook, you've got iTunes, you can put things up on SoundCloud. Or do you think it's easier to get your music out and heard and get it sold, or is it?
I think there's pros and cons to it, really, because on one hand, it's easier because everything's so accessible to the musician themselves. You know, you're not relying on a third party to do everything for you. You know, you've got that autonomy, you can do it yourself. But then on the other hand, there's kind of like that whole idea of everything being saturated and trying to get your voice heard sometimes amongst everybody else that's doing the same thing can be quite difficult.
Yeah, it does appear to be when you go onto YouTube, there's like everybody, the world and their dog, sort of with the guitar. And you go, well, they're not even a musician, get off. But there's just so many people doing stuff. But with the basement as well, because you do something called On the Pulse, which you organise. So tell people about that.
Well, that started up as a way of getting friends together in one place to see lots of different types of art going on. Because when we looked around Chelmsford to look for places to go, there was really nothing going on in that respect. Lots of great stuff going on, but not in one place on one night. So it was my aim to kind of get spoken word acts, live music and visual art in one place. So we do that bi-monthly.
Yeah.
At the basement. So in March it'll be our first birthday. So I'm looking forward to that. And on the 30th we've got our Christmas shenanigans coming up.
So tell us about that. What's going to be going on?
I've got a jam-packed night. It's going to be so good. I'm so looking forward to playing it. Music-wise, we're joined by Dean Fisher and Dale Page. He's from Mr. B and the Poets, amazing vocalist. We've also got the lead singer from Castaway, Matt Buckle. He's doing an acoustic solo set. And we've got a singer-songwriter, Susie Kramer. And then on the spoken word side of things, we've got James Sarek, who's going to be comparing and doing stand-up for us, alongside Karn Johnson and Scott Casey as well. Auntie Sarah's puppets. It's going to be hilarious. She's doing like an adult erotic comedy puppet show.
Right.
It's everything it lives up to. It's going to be really funny.
Yeah.
And then we've also got Olmo Lazarus, who's worked with us before. He's an amazing performance poet.
Yeah.
And he goes around schools and teaches poetry to kids as well. And he's just amazing. It's a very intimate venue, so you can really connect with your audience. And that's what I like about it.
Because I've heard complaints from people who know you that say, why aren't you ever singing all the stuff that you put on?
We do try and get up, and I've done like acoustic sets before, and everybody's like, yeah, but when are we going to hear the electronic stuff? Well, folks, now's the time. I'm hoping actually before the new year to get a free download for people of a cover that we've done. I'm not going to say too much about that now, but we're hoping to get that out before the new year, so people will be able to download bits and pieces.
And who would you like to work with?
Yeah, if the sky's the limit, then my celebrity crush is Skrillex, who does the most amazing drum and bass and grime. I mean, the Suicide Squad soundtrack. It was just amazing. I mean, yeah, if I ever got the chance to work with him, I'd jump out.
Yeah. Well, you don't know. He might be listening back to this interview.
Yeah. Could Skrillex, be. If you're listening.
Yeah. What was that voice? That was a girly sort of, can you help me?
Yeah, can you come help me?
Now, if people want to find out more. Yeah, oh, dear. It's turned a bit nasty. Now, if you want to find out more about Hemingway, they are online. You can have a look at Hemingway Music on Twitter, and also on Facebook. It's Hemingway Music as well, and you can find loads of details. Also, don't forget about the gig on Wednesday, the 30th of November, on the Pulse at the Basement. It's, as I said, it's a fantastic venue, and how much is it to get in for the night?
It's £6 in.
Yeah, see, it's a great fit. It's not even
and
expensive.
50% of that is going to the homeless charity Chess as well.
Oh, so I'll be seeing you. So it sounded like a mild threat then, didn't it? Now, you've got another track coming up for us now. What's this? What one are you going to finish on?
This is a track called Frontiers. Yeah, just written in response to the kind of stuff that's been going on in the UK.
Are we talking about, is it a Brexit kind of thing we're talking about?
Possibly a little bit.
Weird though with Facebook, because it's people that you kind of know, which you've known from maybe like from school, and then you get these people and they come out with it. You thought, where did that come from?
Yeah, it's quite surprising.
And then you think, can I delete them, or will they know and they're going to hump me down? So then you have to leave people on there that normally in life you would never ever want to meet on a dark street, you know what I mean? But you've got to leave them there because you're frightened for your own life. Basically. So if you do want to find out more about Hemingway, it's Hemingway Music on Twitter. You can follow them there, and also Hemingway Music on Facebook. And don't forget the gig on the 30th of November on the Pulse at the Basement. As I said, it's a great venue, and the band's EP will be out early next year. So thanks very much for coming in, and you're going to finish on a song.
Thank you very much.
happiness, really. Here we go. Yay!